Africa Tech Kin with Danny That Guy. Logging into biggest tech stories in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, right here on ZFM Stereo.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Tech Kin, right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, Danny That Guy, your guide through the sometimes complicated world that is technology. Sometimes we take a look at global trends and sometimes we discuss consumer technology. This week we have a special show because on this edition of the Africa Tech Kin, we are going to be interviewing a tech heavyweight in Africa. His name is Winston Ritson, the AI advisor and consultant who is the former CEO of Liquid C2, currently the founder of Ritson.io and working as a consultant for MTN Group in South Africa and various other technology companies as he assists in charting the way forward for AI in Africa. So there's a lot that we're going to get to. I managed to have this conversation with him earlier on this week, so I put it together for this show. Very excited to share it with you. But of course, as usual, we encourage you to get in touch via the official platforms. We've got our WhatsApp 0772-168-045 or use the hashtag AfricaTechKin. That's Africa Tech Kin on your preferred social media platform. After that, of course, we're going to take a look at our new sponsored segment in our second edition together with Samsung, where we're going to be looking at some consumer tech, specifically a brand new phone, the Galaxy A07. So stick around. This is the Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo. Without further ado, let's get into it. Our interview with Mr. Winston Ritson, the founder of Ritson.io. We're excited right now to have an interview right here on the Africa Tech Kin. I am proud to welcome Winston Ritson. Mr. Winston here is a heavy hitter in the African tech space. He's got over 2 decades of experience, best known for some of his roles that he's had in the space. For example, he was the chief operations officer at Liquid C2, and he was instrumental in scaling that business to where it is today. Right now, Winston has been able to position himself as one of the experts, especially in the rising field of AI. And he is at the moment an AI advisor and consultant for many firms, including MTN out in South Africa. He is the founder of Ritson.io, and of course, he's just a man who knows a lot about technology. Welcome, Winston. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm happy that we're going to be able to chat today.
Thanks, Danny, and thank you for having me, and hello to all the listeners or viewers.
Both listeners and viewers. Of course, this is on radio, but if you want to watch this, I've tried to make sure that we get some video of Winston as well for our social media platforms and for YouTube. So, Winston, we're going to talk a lot about, first of all, your upcoming event that you're going to have here in Zimbabwe. But before we get it, while I have you, I'm so glad to have an expert who can answer a couple of questions and get us into some conversations that I think are very important at the moment. So maybe just as a start for our listeners and our audience to know, what is sort of your recent background and history when it comes to technology and specifically when it comes to AI?
Yeah, so thank you for that kind introduction. I think my recent history leading me to AI was in my previous role as a COO at Liquid C2. We started engagements with the likes of Anthropic and Google very early on. The founder of that business, as you know, Strive Masiwa, is a pretty insightful individual. So we got onto the, if we want to call it, onto the AI train very early on, and we saw exactly what was happening. And I think in our engagements with Anthropic and Google, we started to realize that there was a fundamental shift underway. You know, the GPT moment hadn't arrived yet, but the green shoots were on display that this is going to be a fundamental shift in how we consume, you know, knowledge, how we interact with each other at work. So that's what really got me into it, is seeing those early shoots when companies were still looking at GIS, so geological survey data, rather than the kind of GPT we're consuming at this point in time. So yeah, that was when I first realized that this was going to be far more impactful than what was initially being thought.
You know, Winston, I mean, I consume a lot of news about AI, and it's always within the context of Silicon Valley. It's always in the context of America, maybe Europe. Very rarely do I see conversations about AI in Africa, and I see that that's something that you've somewhat specialized in. So I would love to hear from you. What is it that you saw that made you say this is the next big thing for Africa specifically?
Yeah, I think what made it crystallize in my head. So if we were to sort of go on a marketing spiel for a second. If you look at it from an African intelligence perspective, I think there's a lot out there that we generate as the youngest continent on the world. And we generate it in ways that are not suitable for what we'd call the old web, yeah? where websites were king of data. And we didn't populate it from an African perspective. However, we did have the advantage of leapfrogging Europe from a technology side, where we didn't even really have landlines. We went straight to cell phones and these sort of things. And the opportunity is there for us to do the same. Because I firmly believe Africa is uniquely positioned in that the consumption of AI, as in the breakthrough device, I think will come in a media or a form that isn't as expensive as laptops and cell phones are these days. So call it a natural language interface, call it a visual interface. These are the sort of things that are going to make AI breakthrough in a huge way. And I think that talks very well to an African continent where device cost or device affordability has always been a barrier with keeping up with the rest of the world. You know, if you're in a city and you're a professional, yes, you afford a laptop and you afford a smartphone, but if you're not, maybe you're still stuck with a feature phone. The advantage from an AI perspective, and that got me interested when it comes to Africa, is you do not need to know that you're talking to a human on the other end to get all the information you need. And it can do everything from an audio perspective. And that's just, you know, one of the snippets that set up a light in my head that from an African perspective, we can generate new forms of data as we have new ways of interacting with this technology being artificial intelligence. We do not have to interact with it behind a pane of glass, as has been the way to interact with the web. So that's what got me really keen on that we can do more in Africa. Because our data is not out there in the web. If you look at a lot of what the models have been trained with and these sort of things, it really is data driven by, for lack of a better word, inhabitants of the Western world.
Yes.
And I think we've got an opportunity when it comes to artificial intelligence now to generate data that is pertinent for us. Because if it is purely an audio interface, you know, your grandma in the village can speak to something. She can tell stories of old and lore and describe what rainfall works, what things to look out for, if it's going to be a good or bad rainy season. She doesn't need to sit behind the computer and capture that data in the traditional sense. So I think that presents a unique opportunity for us in Africa.
This is fascinating, Winston. So would you then say that we don't yet have that form factor? We don't know what it is yet, but we're anticipating that as these models get rolled out in Africa, whatever form factor that is, whether it's audio, whether it's, I don't know, wearables or something, it's going to eventually take root here and be the next big thing.
Correct. My view is it's going to be the next big thing. I also think there is the opportunity for providers of these models to, from a retrospective perspective, enable feature phones with AI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing for you to say *#134 and you call it. And you speak to an AI and you can dump your thoughts. It can be your digital diary. It can be the local village diary. It can be local village knowledge. It can be all these things because the interface already exists. Maybe people want it in a cool new wearable, but the ability to talk to something exists in a lot of people's hands as a feature phone. So let us leverage that. Power it with models. The models these days are a lot more efficient. We don't need the supersized models to run any sort of inference and analytics or insights for people. So I think the opportunity already exists. We just need to work a little better, a little smarter from a tech perspective to ensure that we can plug into the devices that people already have.
I must admit, I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, I hadn't considered that. Okay. My brain juices are percolating. I'm thinking a little bit. Just to pivot a little bit from our discussion, I think the event that you will be speaking at, it seems to be particularly targeted at leaders. And I think that's an important conversation. When you look at business leaders and leaders of teams here in Africa, what do you think the conversations they should be having when it comes to leadership around the realm of AI? What are the spaces that they should be leading their teams into that you believe they are not at the moment?
Fantastic question. I think if you look at it first from a business leader rather than technology leader, I think business leaders need to start looking at productive time in the context of think time. And maybe that is a little gimmicky, but what I really mean by think time is the value each one of the employees or the people working for these business leaders bring is their ability to think and solve problems that are unique to the business. So it's about how can you return that think time and what is the cost of that think time. So the opportunity cost of having someone think through a problem and solve it versus someone just simply doing data capture. Because a lot of times you'll hear business leaders say, a license for this particular AI is expensive, or a license for that particular AI is expensive. But it's only expensive if your view is the think time of that individual is cheaper. But if the problem they're solving is going to generate you more ROI over the long term, then it is far more beneficial for the business to look at that think time and say, what is the value of think time to me? I think from a technology leader perspective, there really needs to be the thinking around how to build the moat around their data. Because a lot of the power that comes out of AI is its ability to interact and engage with data that is for your particular business rather than generic data. So it's great to use Claude, Gemini, and all these things, but they're trained with, in essence, the sum of all averages. It's data across the world. But what data does your business have that uniquely positions it in a way that if you had to leverage AI on top of it, it would help you overtake or move faster or innovate faster than your competitors? So I think those are the sort of two paradigms that need to be looked at when we talk about leaders approaching this masterclass on 31st.
I think that's very interesting. Think time. I don't know how many business leaders I know that actually think about thinking time in their organization and whether they measure that from a productivity perspective. I think you're going to bring some new ideas and new thoughts to some business leaders and managers out there. One of the things that has been attached to the hype cycle of AI is the fear of losing jobs. In your opinion, what is the general perspective of someone who is an expert and actually seeing the deployment of these AI systems in some of the largest companies in Africa? What is the correct perspective to have? Are people going to lose their jobs? And if so, what does that mean for young people either currently in work or looking for work?
Yes. It's always dangerous to make technology predictions, but alas, I do think there will be a massive impact on jobs. However, I do not think maybe loss is not the right way to look at it. We have to sort of view it in the fact that there will be a paradigm shift in terms of the skills required in the new workplace. Because I think the workplace of today is very much driven around data capture. You do something, you capture that information in a system, that information is used by someone somewhere else to do something else and so on. In the new world, a lot of that kind of work is going to be minimized or possibly go away. So there has to be the ask that what are the skills that are going to be pertinent in the future? We kind of have to think about it like someone who was, you know, a secretary or person who used to type in the 70s. What happened to those roles? They barely exist these days, or they don't exist. It's all self-service. So you've got to think of it kind of in that light, that the new workplace is going to be driven a lot by self-service. You no longer need to ask someone, hey, John, what was our sales last month, and are we growing or not growing? Just ask your company LLM. Bang, it's got all that information. Now the question has to be, how do we put John's think time to something better than what John used to do? So I think that's where the impact's going to be. And unfortunately, I think some people will resist it. And there will be, I think, some loss where people resist. But I think where people get on board, understand it, and as quick as possible move from a plus AI mindset where they look at what they do and then they add AI to it, to an AI plus mindset where you start with AI and then you add what you do on top. It all of a sudden adds value to the business and hopefully creates protection for people's job, because I think it could be pretty devastating if we don't handle this with care.
Very nice. And probably just before we actually get into the details of why you're here, I think the last question that I want to ask is, when you see the conversations happening in Africa with people who are talking about AI tools. What do you think everyone is missing, or what is it that sometimes hits you that you guys are not thinking about this? I would love to hear from your perspective.
Yeah, I think people are not thinking in broad generalization, but I think people are not thinking about it in the context of their business. So a lot of what we have to do is start with whatever your business is. If you are in human resources and maybe you are a milling company, you need to start there and identify the problems that have plagued your business for an extended period, or the information black holes that exist in your business, where you can plug those with artificial intelligence. And I think, as with the old proverb, you've got to eat an elephant one bite at a time. Start with small tactical deployments that are very well contained, where you can see the ROI for your business. I think a lot of the conversations these days are on the broad abilities of artificial intelligence and the fact that it's amazing, rather than what does my business need and can this tool solve it for my business? I mean, to take it to the physical world, I guess if you were a butcher, you wouldn't quite be looking for, I don't know, some bulldozer for your butchery. The two are paradigms apart. If you're a butcher, you're like, how can I run my cold rooms more efficiently, or how can I do these things? That needs to be the same level of thinking we bring to artificial intelligence, especially Gen AI. I think predictive AI is fairly well understood, but I think from a Gen AI perspective, that's the kind of thinking we need to bring.
Very nice. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Last one, yes or no, will we see AGI in our lifetime?
Yes. I'm extremely bullish on that one.
I love it. I love it. Well, Winston Ritson is going to be here in Zimbabwe. The date is October the 31st. He'll be at the Holiday Inn, brought to you by Ulendo Human Capital Consultancy, and he will be hosting an AI breakfast. The theme of this breakfast is artificial intelligence to African intelligence. He describes it not as a tech talk, but a leadership conversation. So very exciting to see this and what it's going to mean. Perhaps I could ask you, if you don't mind, Winston, who is this breakfast for? Who do you think can really benefit from attending?
Who from your top execs who have a mild understanding, through to your professionals within a business like HR, like finance, what does it mean for them? How can they apply it? As well as a little bit for the tech people out there, and just in terms of how they can apply it to solve business problems, rather than to dig into the nuts and bolts of machine learning and these sort of things. But I think then we'll just bore everyone out of the room. But for that is sort of the context. We want to take it from executives to specific professionals within business, and then finally people who have a tech focus looking out into business.
Very nice. I really enjoyed this conversation, Winston. Thank you so much. If you would like to hear from Winston's vast experience and, of course, network with like-minded people, once again, this is the AI breakfast that's going to be held at Holiday Inn on the 31st of October, 2025. Starts at 7:30 a.m. sharp, with registration and coffees. You can get in touch with Ulendo Human Capital on the following numbers. If you're listening to this on radio, you might want to take a moment to note them down. If you're watching this on our social media platforms, then we'll display them on the screen for you. The number for the office is 08677-103-067. Or you can get in touch with Ashley on 0783-837-275. That's Ashley on 0783-837-275, and get yourself a ticket through to the AI breakfast. The investment is only $120, and it's happening this Friday, the 31st of October. Thank you so much, Winston. I enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully I can draw on your experience again sometime in the future when we have more questions about AI in Africa.
Thank you, Dan, and anytime.
And now it's time for us to get into our sponsored segment that's proudly brought to you by Samsung.
This is The Plug with Samsung.
Welcome to The Plug with Samsung, your weekly plug on all the latest and greatest technology and gadgets, courtesy of Samsung. And we want to say thank you once again to Samsung for sponsoring this section of the show. So what are we going to be talking about today? Today we're talking about a brand new device. It only dropped about a month ago, and it is the Samsung Galaxy A07. The Samsung Galaxy A07. This is part of the popular Samsung A series, a very popular series here in Zimbabwe. And Samsung says that this series bridges the gap between advanced technology and affordability. It's not a flagship phone, but it's designed to be a workhorse that you can use in your day-to-day usage. So we'll take some time to discuss who is this phone for, what can it do, and then you can make a decision to buy it from an authorized reseller. All right, so first of all, let's talk about the Samsung Galaxy A07. Take a look at it. Sleek phone. Question though is, who is this phone actually for? Let's take a look at a couple of different groups that it could apply to. If you're a student, perhaps this phone is for you. Imagine this, you're on campus or running in between lectures. You're looking for something that has good battery life. Well, the Samsung has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery that, according to the official specs, gives up to 31 hours of video playback. So it's a great battery, a full day of classes, plus homework, plus research, plus you forgot to plug it in and you're still good, including without a power bank. So that's great battery life that's coming through from the Samsung Galaxy A07. Not only that, it's got an IP54 rated dust and splash resistance. So if you find yourself walking in the rain or out in a dusty area, then you're good with the Samsung Galaxy A07. But it's not just students. Now, Samsung was kind enough to send me some information about this phone so we could talk about it on this show. And one of the things that they mentioned is that this phone is for the upcoming and aspiring. That's who it was conceived for when they made it. So think of a person who's perhaps starting their small business, or maybe they're starting their first job, and you're looking for a reliable phone that you can use to ensure that you are viewed as a professional and you're able to execute your tasks professionally. And you need a reliable phone that may not be at the level of a flagship yet, but you still get a lot of the good features that you would expect from your phone. The Samsung Galaxy A07 is for you. The 6.7-inch display is huge, allowing you for multitasking on that split screen. 6.7 inches, that's a great screen for a phone that's considered not a flagship. Imagine opening your email on one while also reviewing a PDF quotation on the other side of your screen. It's practical use that you have for the Samsung Galaxy A07. It's got a great camera as well. 50 megapixel wide camera. You can take clear, detailed photos of products for your Instagram page, or maybe you're doing content creation, whatever the case is, you can get some good photos using that great camera system on the Samsung Galaxy A07. Now, I know many people these days are becoming entrepreneurs with the ride-hailing apps. We're talking like InDrive, Bolt, Windy. If you're using these apps perhaps to make a bit of an extra quick buck, or perhaps that is your main hustle, then you need a phone that's reliable. You need a big screen for your map, so that 6.7 inch screen comes in handy. You need a great battery that will last even if you're in between trips. 5,000 milliamp hours, 31 hours of video playback. Great phone for usage in that profession of being a ride-hailing professional. So look, we've taken a moment to talk about some of the different groups that could be using this phone, but this is a tech show. So let's take a moment to look under the hood and take a look at the specifications directly. Let's get a bit nerdy, shall we? One of the things that's mentioned is the new 6-nanometer processor, implying a much higher efficiency and better performance from the Samsung Galaxy A07 than its predecessor, the A06. That, of course, high efficiency is what gives it such a great battery life from that 5,000 milliamp hour battery. But it's not just the battery. Of course, we've already mentioned the 6.7 inch screen. Can I mention that it's got a 90 hertz refresh rate? What does this mean? Well, it means that you're going to have smooth refresh happening on your screen. That 90 hertz is actually pretty good for a phone that's not a flagship. Smooth, fluid, less choppy than the standard 60 hertz screen that you would expect at that price point. Great memory, 4+4 gigabyte RAM, implying that it's got 4 gigabytes of physical RAM plus an additional 4 gigabytes of RAM plus that Samsung uses as part of its virtual RAM. So that's great for multitasking and being able to switch between apps without having to continually reload those apps. Then, of course, With Samsung, the X factor is always the software. For a budget phone, what you want is software that you can regularly update and that does everything that you need. Well, the Samsung Galaxy A07 as a brand new launch promises 6 major OS updates and 6 years minimum of security upgrades. So you're good for the next 6 years, courtesy of the Samsung Galaxy A07. So that's good. I mean, you know that you're buying it for now, but you're good with it for the next 6 years. That's a good investment that I would say is available for that particular phone. So let's sum it up. The Galaxy A07, it's not trying to be an ultra or not trying to be a super flagship phone, but it brings you great features that you can find on many of those flagship phones. It's practical, it's practical, it's durable, it's got a massive battery, a huge screen, and a 90 hertz refresh rate, that superpower of that 6-year software support and security updates. It's a great phone. But if you're going to buy an original Samsung phone, then what you need to do is make sure that you're buying from an authorized Samsung retailer, because that way you get access to a 24-month warranty. So make sure you only buy from Zimbabwe's authorized Samsung retail stores. Now, you can search for them in coming episodes of this show. We're going to have a list of all the various authorized retailers. I reached out to the team at Samsung and asked them to prepare that for me so that we can make sure that you know which stores you should be buying for. But for now, ensure that you are buying from an authorized Samsung retailer, the nearest store that is available to you of the many stores available here in Zimbabwe.
This is The Plug with Samsung.
So that's been the Africa Tech Kin this week. Once again, a reminder that you too can be a part of the kin simply by sending a WhatsApp to 0772-168-045 or by using the hashtag Africa Tech Kin on the various social media platforms that you use. I've been your host, Danny That Guy. I'll be back again next week. Same time, same place. In the meantime, this show will be available via podcasts. Just search for ZFM Stereo Current Affairs on your favorite podcast app and you'll be able to find us on there. Or you can watch it on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to ZFM Stereo on YouTube, and this particular show goes up on YouTube every week, so you can actually watch this show as well as listen to it. It's been a pleasure. Stick around. Current Affairs continues next on ZFM Stereo. My name is Danny That Guy. Until next week, bye-bye.
Tune in next time for Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo, discussing all things tech.